This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
There is a big game that will be played tonight, BT, in Detroit.
There's a big game and there's a bunch of big stories. Tonight is a referendum on the head coach and it's a referendum on the star big. I want to play something for you and then we'll react to it. Here's Tom Thibodeau, and this was obviously about what transpired in game two.
Part of it is, you know, if they're going to commit to two and three people on him, I don't want him forcing shots. But there's things that he could do also, and we can do.
Stop. That's all I need to hear. Stop. That is his way of being nice to Karl Anthony Towns. By kind of working around it. Yeah, they did this. He said, but there's things that he can do. That means you better get your head out of your behind, and you better show up, and you better man up, and you better play well tonight. And I think when I use the word referendum, I really mean that, because you have had now multiple days to prepare for what Detroit's throwing at you. There's no surprises here. They're going to try to push you off your mark. They're going to try to punk you a little bit. And you know what they do, and they know what you do. So now the onus is on the coach to come up with something a little more creative. The onus is on the star guard to stop chucking with two guys on him. And really, to me, the biggest onus, aside from Thibodeau, is for Karl Anthony Towns to play like a man, a beast tonight.
Yeah, I mean, he's either got it in him or he doesn't. I just feel like Detroit's
defense. But if he doesn't have it in him tonight, I mean, what else do you need to hear? He's gotten shredded for two days. He's been sitting in a hotel room in Detroit. He's watched the film. He watched an entire fourth quarter where he didn't take a single shot. They watched this series sequence by sequence. He watched the entire second half where he took three total shots. He had 10 points. If that was Ewing, people would have tried to stone him in the middle of Times Square. 10 points in a playoff game against a team that you're supposed to melt. So if Karl Anthony Towns is not a possessed demon from the opening tip until the final buzzer, then he's just not the guy. I'm sorry.
I also would not force feed, if I'm the Knicks, try to force the issue and get Karl Anthony Towns involved. I thought more of the issue was on Brunson trying to be a ball hog. Now, maybe Brunson was seeing things that Tibbs is referring to. Well, Towns could have put himself in better position. Who knows? I don't blame Tibbs. I don't want to say at all. I told you my issue in game one with the way he used the bench to empty the bench basically at the end of the first quarter. Everything else that he said since has been, I've been fine with. He referenced, hey, everybody's making a big fuss and this and that. The sky is falling down. But yet at the end of the game, if Mikal Bridges hits the open three, the game is tied. Nobody's probably talking about any of the other stuff. We could be saying, well, they won a game with Cat really doing nothing. But you wouldn't be focused on ripping Tom Thibodeau. So I do think that the players deserve the bulk of the blame, whether it's Brunson, whether it's Karl Anthony Towns. Very curious to see how this team responds tonight. Ultimately, I think that they will respond well. But as for Karl Anthony Towns, do I need to see him score 30 points or 25 points? I don't. As long as the Knicks are doing the right thing with the basketball, ball movement, spacing, getting open looks and having those guys. They have enough scores to where if Bridges scores 35 tonight and Cat has 15, I'd still be okay with that.
Listen, I don't need an all-time performance. I need an all-time effort. That's what I'm saying. I need a level of engagement that certainly and simply was not there for the entire second half, which to me is just deplorably, it's sad. It's unacceptable for the amount of money Karl Anthony Towns is making, the importance that he brings to this team, and the value that he has. He's an incredibly talented player. Listen, but even with the Tom Thibodeau stuff here, no, I'm not losing sight of what I said the other day. You have gotten crushed on the backboards. All right, now again, you split through the film and you do what you got to do. The easiest thing for him to do tonight to at least respond and counteract what the Pistons do well is, can you play Mitchell Robinson a healthy amount of minutes? And I don't know, can you play him for a long run with Karl Anthony Towns? You were minus 14 on the backboard the other night. Minus 14. Now, I understand that sometimes kids, guys get open looks and they don't go down. All right? And, you know, it's easy to pound on a coach when they don't go down. But if the guy did his job, to your point, then maybe he's absolved a little bit, okay? I understand an element of that for sure. And if Bridges does his job, then it's less piling on by many for Tom Thibodeau. The difference, though, for me is that I've been on Tom Thibodeau all year. This is not a reaction to one game. I was worried about the Pistons. I've been worried about the Knicks from week one. Unfortunately, I got a lot of things that I can't get rid of. Lindor quitting lefty, all the things, Volpe's going to be better than Lindor. So many crazy things I've said over the years. I got it. Unkillable Zach, this guy can spin it. Hey, one thing I told you is that Tom Thibodeau has had an awful year coaching this team. I stand by it. I believe it. I've watched every second of the season. He's got to prove himself, and the big better start proving himself. Don't be a little softy again.
I don't know how you could say that he's had an awful season.
I think he's had a bad season.
Dude, they got the fourth best record in the league, fifth best
offense.
It's
the low-hanging fruit, Sal. I know
what
that, dude.
It's not the low-hanging
it
fruit.
Is,
that's
though.
A fact.
Yeah, no, I'm not here to refute facts. I get that. But the fact that I look at more so.
And by the way, do you think they're going to lose tonight?
I actually think they're going to win tonight.
Okay, do you think they're going to win this series?
Yes.
So then what are we talking about? It's next level stuff, which I'm not going to say I disagree. You're much harder on Tibbs than I am and think that they could do better immediately than Tibbs with Mike Malone, whatever. But if you think they're going to win this first round, and I agree with you, then I don't understand the vitriol toward
Tibbs. I'll tell you
Tibbs.
Why. It's a good question, actually. It's a very good question. I know. I'm happy you bring that up because it might seem crazy to some. Hey, he said he's going to win the series. What's this guy, nutjob? Because, maybe a little bit with certain things. Yeah. But the way they looked in this series gives me even less confidence that they can even give the Celtics a competitive five-game series. The Celtics won last night. And now I know the Magic aren't very good. Without Jason Tatum. You know, KP, with blood trickling down his face, took five or six stitches off his noggin, basically broke his nose again. He has 20 and 10. No sweater. A top three, top four player in the league like Tatum is. The Celtics aren't messing around with an inferior team, but yet the Knicks have been outplayed basically in six or seven of the eight quarters that they played against a team that hadn't won a playoff game since 2008. So I get it. I wouldn't use the word vitriol. Maybe screw me.
Yeah, okay.
It's all good.
Yeah.
But I know what you mean. Yes, and I stand by it. Because my measurement for this team is not did you win 50 or 51. My measurement is how much closer to a championship are you? And I think they've taken a step back. And the fact that they're 0-10 against the best teams in basketball backs that up. The fact that they look completely mismanaged and disheveled and soft the other night backs that up. I hope it changes. And I do think they win the series. But then I think they get squashed by the Celtics.
Yeah, and look.
And by the way, if they lose tonight, like I do think they're going to win the series. But I'm not feeling great about it.
They could lose tonight. I don't think that they will. I just think the talent will win out, but they could lose tonight. And then you're really going to start to hear the anti-Cat stuff, anti-Tibbs stuff. I'm sure maybe, you know, depending on what type of game Brunson has. We know Bridges. See, Brunson shouldn't be untouchable either for the way that he played. I know he's putting up the points. You got to get everybody else involved.
Yeah, you've been saying that.
The Knicks haven't, and again, there's multiple people to blame, whether it's Brunson, whether it's Karl Anthony Towns not being in the right spot, OG Anunoby looked lost, whether it's Tibbs not drawing up plays,
Bridges,
whatever it may be. There's a lot that goes into it.
Yep.
They need to be better. I'll still take my chances, at least in this series. Let's worry about next round when we get there. But I think the Knicks will respond tonight. I fully expect that that Tibbs has the right messaging to this group.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be an issue, and I think that the players will respond in accordance with that.
I wish I could separate the two. I'm almost envious of those who can. I can't. I admit it. My hands are up. I know. I haven't been able to separate the two all year. And that kind of stinks because it's taken away my enjoyment for the Knicks this year. I've said that many times. I've been very open and very free with this year. Listen, there's an old expression in golf, never up, never in. What does it mean? Well, if you don't roll it toward the hole and, you know, at least maybe get it past it or to it, can't go in. Like if you're a couple of rotations short, you can't make birdie. Never up, never in. And I'm going to take that. I'm going to apply that to basketball right now. Never up, never in, Cat. If you go down firing in the fourth quarter and you got two guys, I'm not taking bad shots where you're chucking to placate the dope like me. But within the framework of basketball, if you're getting after it, and we all know what it looks like when someone's getting after it, you're not getting pushed off your mark, you're running the pick and roll, you get an open three, you take it, you take a couple of strong dribbles to the rim, you try to yoke it down in somebody's face, you get fouled, you don't, you make the dunk, you don't. I will be able to separate engagement from execution. But I need him to be ready to play like a warrior tonight. And I'm hopeful that he will be, but I'm not fully confident. I'm not.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Game 3 tonight. Knicks in Detroit. Also have the NFL draft. That has been front and center so far for us. In case you missed anything, check it out on the free Odyssey app. We'll have Diana Rossini coming up in about...
Diana Rossini coming up in about
5 minutes. And Thomas Dimitroff will be with us at 1 o'clock. Lawrence is in Oklahoma City. What's up, Lawrence?
Hey, thanks for getting me on an important day. Look, if I'm the Giants and I'm looking at the draft board, I'm not taking another defensive end when I have Kayvon Thibodeau and I just paid Brian Burns. And if we do take Abdul Carter, that means that picking Kayvon Thibodeau at number 5 is a bust overall because mm-hmm. we're probably not going to re-sign him or we're going to trade him. And then even more so, if Kayvon Thibodeau is a bust at number 5 overall, how am I supposed to trust him at picking a defensive end at number 3 overall? Trade back the pick. Get as many picks as you can. I don't trust this guy at all. Joe Shane's probably going to bend us all over. And that is what it is. Let's ride Big Blue.
Graphic buddy.
Ends it with God. Let's ride Big Blue. And thank you for the call, Lawrence, right there. I wouldn't trust Joe Shane and the Giants yet. I don't think they've earned that. Although everybody says they had just such a terrific draft last year. Really great draft last year. That's great. Let's see them do it again. Let's see maybe actually add up to some wins this time. I'm not worried about Joe Shane's perspective. I'm worried about what I think. I feel like Abdul Carter is the best player in the draft, which is why I think that that's minimizing the risk in taking him with that pick.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody else, now it's all on Shane to whether you take Travis Hunter, whether you trade down, where you're going to get quarterback. All those things to me are all unknowns and uncertain. The one certainty that I feel, doesn't mean it's right, just what I feel, is Abdul Carter. So if he's there at 3, the Giants will be lucky, and you take him and you figure out what you do with Thibodeau after that.
Cam Ward might not be good. Travis Hunter might not, he's very talented, so I'm not trying to disparage the kid, but yeah, he might not be able to hold up, you know, for all those snaps both ways. I don't think he will. You know, how happy is he down the road playing one or one and a half positions? We know his position on playing multiple positions. I think you look at what the Patriots will probably do, offensive lineman, maybe Will Campbell. I talked about him pertaining to the Jets. You know, they think they've got to kick him inside. I don't love that for somebody who's getting drafted 4. You draft them 4, you're already moving them. And I think there's a chance the Jaguars do something nuts or take a receiver tonight, and there's no guarantee that they're going to pick the right one. Of all the players that will most likely go in the top 5 or 6 picks, Abdul Carter is by far the surest bet.
Welcome in senior NFL insider for The Athletic, Diana Rossini. Diana, what are we looking at here as far as the Giants go as getting a quarterback? Forget number 3 for now. What are you hearing is the preference for the Giants and their quarterback?
This is how I know you guys are desperate to find out what's happening. You don't even give me a what's up, how are things, how's life. You just want the answers now. So I'll tell you what I'm hearing right now, and it's been pretty consistent, guys. I was told even just a week ago that the Giants were in line with what they were doing with that 3rd pick, and the expectation is that they're going to go best overall, and who's going to be there when they pick at 3rd. So does that mean they're out of the quarterback market? Absolutely not. At this point, there's a lot of calls being made at the bottom of this 1st round of teams in the 2nd round looking to possibly move up. The New York Giants have explored some of that. The Cleveland Browns have explored some of that. Nothing has been firmed up yet because a lot of these teams obviously want to see how this shakes out. No need to trade up now, mm-hmm. You know, because there's still a lot of things that are in play, not just in the draft tonight, not just there, also, with Kirk Cousins looming over this, because that's a little bit of a factor that you got to keep an eye on, and not in regards to the New York Giants, but just with other teams that are in the market for a quarterback, like the Steelers, like the Browns, like the Vikings, and so that's just something that's going to affect where teams are taking QBs. So for right now, I feel pretty good that the New York Giants are going to be going best overall at 3 tonight.
Which is what makes a lot of sense here. Now, the general consensus, and this might change here, is what we need you for. Right now, it seems like Cam's going 1, Travis Hunter's going 2, Carter 3 to the Giants, which would be awesome for the Giants. But what if the Browns take Carter? What do you think the Giants do?
I think they would then take Hunter.
100%?
I think they're going best play available right there. I don't think they're feeling pressed to go quarterback there. I don't think they need to do it. I think they know they don't need to do it there. Because this quarterback class is what it is, as we know, and they're really only up against the Browns and the Saints. And from what I understand, the Saints are in for a quarterback. Like, that's been established. That even goes back to before Kellen Moore was even hired. Like, this organization is like, we need to get a quarterback. Then, of course, this Derek Carr thing pops up, right? So he's got this, I'm using quotes in the air, you can't see me, shoulder injury, a.k.a. I don't want to be there anymore. So they have to get a quarterback. I don't believe the Saints. In fact, I feel very firm about it, that the Saints are going with a Q at 9.
Oh.
They're going best player of L.
Interesting.
They think they can get who they want, and I'm not sure who this quarterback is in a later round. So for the Giants, I just think for them, the way they have their quarterback stacked on their board, they feel firm that they're going to be able to still get him if they don't pick him at 3.
Mm-hmm.
Which I do feel, because I know your next question is going to be, who's the quarterback? Here's what I can tell you. Shedeur Sanders, at a pretty consistent point, consistent meaning like for a decent amount of time, was graded number one on the Giants board. Like, he was there. There was smoke to the fire, and that fire was real in terms of Joe Shane being in Colorado as often as we saw him. They did so much work on him. And something changed. Something happened between the end of the season and where we're at now, where Shedeur is no longer looked at their number one quarterback. So I don't know if that means when they met him. I don't know if that means during a workout, a Zoom, a phone conversation, more intel, right? Because you guys know how much work is being put into finding out. I mean, they're finding out the guy's favorite colors at this point to see if it matches up. So at this point, look, I know I'm sure there's been tons of people you guys have had on, and if you're following social media, the Jackson Dart thing seems to be creating a lot of momentum here. I have heard that before from people in the NFL that Dable prefers him, I'm not firm on it yet. Not until we get closer to tonight.
So we're talking to Diana Rossini, senior NFL insider from The Athletic, and for The Athletic, of course, BT and Sal here on The Fan. All right, there's a lot of things. The only reason I'm kind of move past, but I don't want to lose the thought here because it might seem like a dumb question, but I don't think it is. Like when I ask about what would they do, and your answer was Travis Hunter if Abdul Carter goes too. Yeah, he is best available, clearly, based on basically everybody's projections here. But, you know, Shane said some things last week. You know, hey, we're pretty good with our corners. We're pretty good with our receivers.
Uh-huh.
He wants to play both. I don't know that the Giants will be amenable to that. And even if they were, can he physically hold up? Like, that's the only reason I push back. Like, if they don't love Hunter and Carter's gone, that's why I'm curious what their next move could be.
Well, then you got to kind of look at the board, and I can tell you most teams at this point have a Will Campbell, an offensive lineman for you know, at least that position group. Cause that's where this draft is really, talented. It's in the lines on both defensive line and offensive line. That's essentially the theme of this. Not a lot of good pass catchers, not a lot of cues, but really good in the trenches. So if Joe Shane felt that there was an extreme need, which they do, at offensive line, then if they believe that he's a better player for what they're looking for, yeah, I'm sure that could happen. I think that would be surprising, though. I think we would all be like, wow, okay, on Friday if Will Campbell is the New York Giants. Now, somebody from a different team picking in the top 10 texted me this morning and said, how much do you know about the New York Giants and the running back class? Keep looking into it. I don't think there's anything there. I'm just sharing with you because there is just so much chatter right now. So is there a running back? Perhaps. By the way, we're playing this like pretend game that you just set up for us.
It's fun.
Let's just say Abdul Carter, goes to Cleveland, which I really don't believe so, by the way. That I feel very firm that Cleveland is going to take him despite the fact that they're getting calls. The New York Giants are getting calls. The New England Patriots are getting calls. And most of these teams have one player available. They obviously don't reveal it to the team when they call them yesterday or the day before, and even one team this morning calling up of, hey, we got a guy in mind. If he's there, we're going to be calling you when you're on the clock if he's available and we want to do something. So that's basically where we're at right now.
So what about those reports? You just alluded to it a little bit, Diana. We heard Peter Schrager the other day report something. Brian Baldinger came out yesterday talking about there's going to be a blockbuster within the top five. What are you hearing about the possibility, forget even just the Giants' perspective, the possibility of a blockbuster within the top five picks?
Yeah, I think if there's going to be a team that's going to do something that maybe we didn't think they would do, or perhaps maybe be more aggressive than I expected, it would be the Jaguars. This has been a really consistent, there's been consistent chatter about this for a while, that they want an offensive player and they want to do something. So what does that mean? Are they willing to move all the way up to two with Cleveland to get Travis? Possibly. And that would make a lot of sense if they want to build on offense, get the best offensive player in football. I mean, depending on how you want to use them. So if there were a team, that's it for me. I'm not predicting some team outside the top 10 making some wild jump in there. I know there's been some chatter that the Broncos are trying to move up, that the Bears are trying to move. The Houston Texans, they're going to do something. Mark my word, they will do something. I just don't think they're going to make some big wild jump into the top 10. In fact, if anything, more teams I'm talking to today are trying to get out. The Steelers are trying to get out. The Raiders are trying to get out. The Jacks even took some calls today and trying to get out. So obviously we know the story of this draft.
So we were trying to figure that along the lines of the Jaguars here, Diana. Is there a chance maybe they're going to trade Trevor Lawrence? Like when we hear blockbuster, our minds go in pretty wild spots here. So let's just slow the roll a little bit here and keep it more local and take it down a notch from blockbuster, but established players. Do you think there's a chance, as a Jet and Giant thing, that either Kayvon Thibodeau or Breece Hall are traded over the next couple of days?
No, I understand the question. I know why those are names. I haven't had any conversations with any team that's serious about moving them or serious about trading for them. Do I think both teams are going to be open to it? Yeah. I just don't see it. I was just right before you guys called me, I was talking to someone about the Pittsburgh situation with George Pickens. No one's called them, you know, like it's great that name's out there and people are looking at the salary. They're looking at the situations, and you can say the same with Breece Hall. You can say the same with Kayvon, but you need a team to call. And if they're not calling, you're not going to be able to do a deal. Look, this can change when we're on the clock. A.J. Brown is a perfect example of a player I was on at the time I was working on ESPN. I was on Get Up with Mike Greenberg, screaming off the rooftop, the Tennessee Titans are not moving A.J. Brown. They're not doing it. They're too moved A.J. Brown when they got on the clock because of the way they had no plans of doing that. None. And I've had multiple conversations with them since, because obviously that was a blockbuster. And the Philadelphia Eagles, reaping all the benefits of it, which I feel like I should just add because the rumors are wild. A.J. Brown is not getting traded either. I think some people had some, I think it was coming out of Philly, actually. People were saying that A.J. Brown was on the block, and he is not.
Well, I mean, the Phillies are dead, so they got to create up interesting stories to keep themselves interested and engaged.
They are unbelievable. They're just never satisfied. Like, I know we're crazy up here about our team, and you know, our expectations are through the roof, and they should be. But these guys just won, and it's like, it's exhausting. It's like, just take your championship and just go away.
And Sixers are.
I'm supposed to be objective, but it comes out when I talk to you guys.
Love
home
it.
Here.
Yeah,
but I don't talk like this when I call the other cities.
We're objective about objective about most things. Philadelphia is not one of them. BT and Sal, we're talking with Diana Russini, senior NFL insider for The Athletic. Couple more from me, Diana. Number one, what do you think the Jets would prioritize in this draft? Even if it's just best player available, would they prefer the tight end, or they're looking to go offensive line?
So I had heard tight end for a while, and then I had someone I really, really trust that said to lighten up on the tight end talk, offensive line. It's simple, but it's a clean player that they believe in, that they've got. They have an offensive lineman high on their board that they really like. So,
It's got to be Membu, right? It's got to be.
I mean, let's just, our little pretend mock that the three of us are doing, let's just say Will Campbell goes to New England.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that makes sense. Or actually, based on our little game, it's Will Campbell to the New York Giants. but, yeah, so offensive line, definitely makes a lot of sense for the Jets, just knowing that that's just, you know, again, unfortunately, another need for the Jets.
Yeah, I love the fact that they, or the thought that they might go offensive line. Now, for me, Membu's clear number one, and I do think Campbell's going to go to the Patriots. I'm getting more of that from the mocks, but it's out there enough where I believe it, and I think he's really good. I don't love him, though, for a couple of reasons I won't bore you with. I already said it early in the show. Do you know, like, if Membu was gone, would they still have the feeling for a Campbell or even a Kelvin Banks, or would they then pivot to tight end?
No, I know they have high grades for Campbell too, though. Like, I know you don't,
oh, they
but they
do.
And by the way, I've heard a little bit of the pushback on the Campbell stuff myself from other people. You're not the first to say it, but I have found more teams, like actual decision makers, higher on Campbell than us, than, you know, people just having opinions about seeing it, watching and evaluating this as media members.
Yeah.
So he's doing something, he presents something, and maybe it's even sometimes those intangibles, those things you don't know about, which, you know, I know for New England specifically, they're not calling up at all. It's not like they're going to try to make a move to get Abdul Carter. I think they take Carter if he's there at four, if let's just say the Giants do something wild. But I know for them, I think the perspective there, from what I understand, is they really just want to start filling some of these needs. It's not the sexiest ideas or choices right now, but they're kind of stuck. Just think, if they lost that last game of the season last year, yeah, you know, with Jerron Mayo, and just knowing that time was probably coming to an end, mm-hmm, they're in a completely different position this year.
That's what I wanted them to lose.
Look, we can talk all day about, yeah, like whether or not you believe in the tanking and all that, but I will always go back to that of what, like, for the Giants and for the Patriots, just why? But they did what they did, and now they got to sit in it today.
Diana, last one for me, and you've been on top of the Aaron Rodgers stuff, you know, all along here. Maybe to put this to bed, what'd you make of what Rodgers said about how the exchange went with him and Aaron Glenn in the Jets hierarchy?
Here's how I look at it: is if you want to take the high road on things, then take the high road. That was just from my reaction to it when I heard it. He kept talking about how much respect he had for Christopher Johnson and his wife, and yet spent the whole time putting down the team that Christopher Johnson owns. So you can't do both, right? Like, if I say I like you guys, but then crap on the fan, like that's not fair. Not that you own the fan, but sometimes it feels like you do, but you don't, but you're associated with it, right? So I don't know, that didn't sit with me well. I think there was more to the flight back to Jersey than just, I don't think the Jets called him up and said, get on a plane, pay for yourself and get here.
Yeah.
I think this was more of a, I think there's a little bit of a gray here where he was just coming back to New Jersey. And they were like, why don't you swing by? Not necessarily you take a one-way ticket yourself or get on your private jet. Look, I can't sit here and say that I loved everything that happened with his time with the Jets and Aaron Rodgers. I think both sides are guilty of not exactly operating the best way. I mean, how many times did I write stories about this last year, right? Of just this dysfunction behind the scenes for the Jets. There were times that I'd be writing it and I'd feel bad for Aaron. And there's times I'd be writing other stories and I'd feel bad for the Jets. So it's, you know, just as a human being covering this stuff, I just think both are at fault. It was an experiment. It was worth a shot. I'll never say that they made a mistake by doing it. I always thought Woody was doing the right thing by taking a risk at bringing one of the greatest quarterbacks I know of my time to New York to see what he could do. Unfortunately, it just wasn't set up to have success.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with that. And there's always
annoying, though, but I'm annoyed by it a little because it's like I wanted to see that work.
You.
And mm-hmm. And you look at it and it's like, but guys, I was at training camp that first year,
yeah,
in his first season, and I was freaking. I remember texting my siblings, who are all Jets fans, like, oh my God, wait till you see Aaron Rodgers. And then we saw it on Hard Knocks. Like, I just remember being so pumped about this idea that the Jets were going to be great.
No,
here we are, guys.
I hear you. Hey, two quick ones. One follow up on the Jets here with the front office, and something else real briefly on another player. So, independent of the Rodgers stuff, what is your early impression, and what's the word on the street around the NFL about Muji and Glenn and how they handle stuff early, what they project?
So, I look, everyone always starts off by understanding people by looking where they come from, right? So you look at Aaron Glenn, he's just been around a Dan Campbell who's got this bravado about him, and it works, right? But it's authentic, and I think that's really important, and God knows Jets fans know. Anyone that comes there that isn't authentic to who they are, you get called out quick, especially in this market. It's like, what are you doing? I think Eric Mangini's actually spoken about that publicly since he was the Jets coach years ago about he tried doing that. This isn't me. I think there's some curiosity about what Aaron Glenn is going to be. How much he's going to be Aaron Glenn versus being Detroit version of what they do there. So I know there's some interest there, and I certainly am. And so far from my interactions with him and just watching him, he's very sure of who he is and what he is. So I think it's off to a good leadership role for him. For Mookie, it's just, you know, look, I talk to people in Denver all the time. They speak the world of him. He's very cerebral from what they tell me. Just a very detail-oriented person. And I just think that's good. But look, I think we are going to probably have to be patient with them. This is a first-time regime. You know, I wasn't hearing Moogie's name really as a candidate for GM jobs outside of New York. You know, this wasn't a name that that people in NFL circles are talking about. Like, he's going to be the next GM. Not saying he can't do the job. I just think he's going to probably have to learn a little bit. And I'm sure he's doing that. And they're reaching out to people, from what I heard, that know what they're doing to just continue to make sure that they're getting coached up on it. And I do think the Jets are doing a good job internally, from what I heard, of just making sure they're giving those guys everything they need, you know, to support what they're about to do here.
Love it. That's good. All right, final thing, Diana Rossini, senior NFL insider for The Athletic, BT and Sal and all the Fan. And it's a small thing, but it could tie into what the Jets do tonight, even though they're probably leaning more O-line. Do you believe they or others think there's a big gap between Ty Warren and Colston Loveland for Michigan?
I don't.
Me neither.
I don't think.
That's why I asked.
Don't
yep.
Think, I know the Rams like Loveland. That was floating around a little bit this week. I know last year they were poking around to get Brock Bowers.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams are, and they wound up, it kind of fell apart as we got closer to 7:30. I remember, I think I was on some show at like 6 and I was getting texts like, yo, you better get on. This is happening. They're going to move. And it's for Brock. So I think this year the Rams are in on tight end again. Obviously, I don't think Loveland is at the level of Bowers. I mean, if he is, God love him and good for the Rams. But so to really answer your question, no, I don't think the grades would be that far apart if we were to take a quick survey around the league right now.
But it also doesn't sound like you think Warren is very close to Bowers. Not to put words in your mouth, but is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, no, I think Bowers is a generational type player. Like, I think he's that good.
Okay.
And he was the type of player, I just remember last year, you know, when you're going through past, obviously last year was all about the quarterback, but any positional, he was the guy. Like, yeah. Everyone was talking to me about Bowers. And look what he just did. And granted, I'm interested to see what he's going to do with Chip Kelly. I actually talked to someone from the Raiders this morning about what they're doing there, and they claim that they're going to be amazing, but don't they always say that? Geno Smith under center. So, we'll see how this pans out. We'll see what the Jets decide to do. I still think they're going to come out of this thing with a tight end. I just think with that top pick, it's going to be either tight end or offensive line. So one or the other. But either way, they're going to get them both.
Thank you, Diana. We appreciate your time. Enjoy the draft tonight. Look forward to talking to you sometime down the road.
I always love talking to you guys. You're the best. I appreciate you having me on today.
There you go. Diana Rossini. Always fun catching up with her. I feel bad because...
She's a big fan, by the way, of BT and Sal, Diana.
Which is nice.
Big fan.
I feel bad. I like Diana a lot, but I with guests, I just like getting right to it. That's just how I do it. I don't, you know, the hi and hello. I didn't want to be rude.
It's nice to ease into things.
Yeah. I don't want to be rude, but, you know, I also don't want to waste any time. Same thing with calls. It's always like, hey, what's your point? Oh, hey, how are you? Like, we're good. You're good. So, you know, I don't want to do the whole welcome thing.
But you are a get-to-the-point kind of guy. Especially when there's a lot of things when we want to hit.
Well,
I enjoy a little more banter. You know, hey, what's going on, Diana? Right. Hey, Joe's in Hoboken. Joe, what's going on, buddy? How are you, Joe? Yeah. Sal wants the
let's
point.
Get right to it. There's no way. We don't need to exchange pleasantries, but I did feel bad with Diana right there. But anyway, we appreciate her time and appreciate the insight right there. We'll get back to the calls, 888-808-1019. Remember, we'll have Thomas Dimitroff coming up in studio in the 1 o'clock hours. Both of you are in this thing
together. Let's knock him around, Hoffy. We'll tag in and tag out. Go ahead. What's up?
You told me yesterday was Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
During 3RQ.
Yep.
That the Katy Perry space mission was a hoax.
Hoff said that first.
Yeah, and then you follow right along.
Because I wasn't sure.
He was so convicted
in it. I'm like, dang, sounds like he knows what's going on. He's going to rubber stamp it.
Hoff, you said, quote, hoax. BT's like, oh, yeah, that's right. No, it was a fake thing. And then I see a headline today from the New York Post, which made me further look into it. I was like, you know what? I thought that this was real. Maybe I've been missing things. It was a crew of six women.
Mm-hmm.
The first, like, making history. The all-female crew that launched into space on April 14th. It was a legit thing. Katy Perry, Gail King, Lauren Sanchez, who I guess is Jeff Bezos.
Janet Jackson.
Fiance. No.
Nicole Eggert.
You wish. Aisha Bowe, I'm not sure who that is.
Me neither.
Former rocket scientist. Amanda, I don't know how
Hug and kiss?
Civil rights activist. Carrion Flynn.
Pretty esteemed
group. Point is, it was the first ever all-female crew to go to space on the Blue Origins, whatever mission to space. And that was always based off the question, you know, if you had the opportunity, would you go to space? And you're like, oh, that wasn't real. That was fake. You're wrong.
No.
You're wrong again, bad information. Just like the Vikings with J.J. McCarthy.
Oh, no. I'm very accurate in this. Show me the clip. The only clips.
It's on E! News, right? I'm looking at it. E! News.
The only clips I've seen of them are floating in a little thing, which, by the way.
You're not going to see a video of it.
You should be able to see them take off. You should be able to do that.
You should be able to see them take off. Yeah. I've watched many people take off.
Yeah.
Cape Canaveral.
They don't have that. They have them at a destination where Bezos is going to open the door, but he's not ready yet. And then they open the door by accident. It's all fake. It's all fugazi, dude.
It's not. It happened.
I'm confused now. I don't know which way to go.
It happened. I came up, I guess Katy Perry's been getting some critics or whatever.
For what?
She's a phony in general. Come on.
What do you mean she's a phony?
She's terrible.
She is a phony. But what about
what are you talking about?
I'm not a big fan. What are the critics about now for her?
Just in general.
One week after the Dark Horse singer joined five other women on the all-female Blue Origin space launch.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
Which was met with mixed reactions. I guess people didn't like it.
Why wouldn't you like that?
She seemingly addressed the backlash, during her space-inspired concert in Mexico on April 23rd. Katy asked the crowd, has anyone ever called your dreams crazy? Anyway, I don't know. I don't want to go to all this. She wanted to go to space.
Sounds like a riveting article.
She wanted to go to space for 20 years.
You can go to space, why don't you stay in space?
Why would anybody give her backlash?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a great accomplishment.
Why are you not a fan of...
But here's what I don't get, right? I just got to tell you my side of the story. I honestly believe that it was true. Now, I also really couldn't give a rat's behind.
Right.
I followed it. I saw it because I'm always consuming something. And I saw it, and I really didn't delve too deeply into it. I did assume, because Gail King was there, and she has a news background, I felt that it was valid.
Yeah, Gail King is the reputable source here.
I didn't think that it was a stunt. I took it kind of at face value. But... this guy was so believable in the way I'm like, I don't know, maybe I misread it. And I just I jumped to his side immediately.
Me too. Then I started to doubt myself because I'm like, oh, I thought I saw this.
Did.
And then he's like, no, that was fake news. And I'm like, what? Now the backlash came from, here's a quote, celebrities like Emily Ratajkowski.
Oh, yeah. He took his glasses off everybody, just so you know.
I said I wouldn't go to space.
Yeah, you'd stay in space with her, right?
You better believe it. She slammed the mission. She slammed the mission, calling the spectacle, saying optically looks like progress for women in science, but in fact saying that Jeff Bezos' decision to take his fiance Lauren and a few other famous women to space for space tourism is not progress. So I guess that's the backlash of that.
She said that.
This is what Emily
wrote. Emily, yeah.
So that's just part of the backlash.
That's interesting for a woman to say that. I mean, women, I don't even know if they went. I'm going back to my original thought. I believe that they did, actually.
Can I ask you a question? Serious question.
Yeah.
Which one flew Blue Origin? Does it fly by itself, or did anybody actually fly?
No, it might be autopiloted. Honestly, it might be.
Yeah, I don't think there's a
pilot.
You're not
sitting there holding a steering wheel, dude.
Yeah, there's no way to choose from.
Excuse me, Mars, I'm going past Venus.
Now we're saying that that's realistic. The fact that we're saying
that. Pull over, I gotta go to the bathroom on the side of the. Hit the shoulder, please.
And you believe that?
I don't know what I believe. That's my point.
You believe that six women got into, or six people got into a ship, and it just it's like a Tesla. It just drives itself.
Yeah, that's what happens to go to space. I'm pretty sure.
I did believe it. I don't believe so. I think someone's got to press a couple buttons. You ever watch Star Trek?
I hated Star Trek. Star Trek was awful.
Either way,
but you're still gonna press some buttons.
Wait a second.
What? Oh, he missed.
Star Trek. What?
Hey, he's alive.
Your mic is off.
You gotta put your mic on, buddy.
Star Trek is one of the best shows ever.
Case closed. Thank you, Dove.
Hold on. Now, Hop, I just want to clarify before we move on. We'll take a break, get back to the calls on the draft. My issue with you, you could believe what you want. You could say that you think it was a hoax.
Mm-hmm.
As a producer,
yeah.
I'm gonna need some accurate info. The facts are... J.J. McCarthy was not, in fact, named the starter at the time for the Vikings when you said that he was.
0-for-1.
And the facts are they did go to space. You can believe...
BT, hold on. You were on my side when I told you this. Stop flip-flopping the McCarthy stuff.
I was?
You trusted your producer.
Those days are over.
Yeah, BT and Sal. The fan. We'll get back to the calls, 888-808-1019. Down with the king topic of the day, the NFL draft.